Congress, neither, therefore, is counsel. But it is folly, they retort, to prescribe what a sick man ought to do, just as if he were well, when you should really restore his health. For without health, precepts are not worth a jot. But have not sick men and sound men something in common, concerning which they need continual advice? For example, not to grasp greedily after food, and to avoid getting overtired. Poor and rich have certain precepts which fit them both. Cure their greed, then, people say, and you will not need to lecture either the poor or the rich, provided that in the case of each of them, the craving has subsided. But is it not one thing to be free from lust for money, and another thing to know how to use this money? Misers do not know the proper limits in money matters, but even those who are not misers fail to comprehend its use. Then comes the reply. Do away with error, and your precepts become unnecessary. That is wrong. For suppose that avarice is slackened, that luxury is confined, that rashness is reined in, and that laziness is pricked by the spur. Even after vices are removed, we must continue to learn what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. Nothing, it is said, will be accomplished by applying advice to the more serious faults. No, and not even medicine can master incurable diseases. It is nevertheless used in some cases as a remedy, in others as a relief. Not even the power of universal philosophy, though it summon all its strength for the purpose, will remove from the soul what is now a stubborn and chronic disease. But wisdom, merely because she cannot cure everything, is not incapable of making cures. People say, what good does it do to point out the obvious? A great deal of good, for we sometimes know facts without paying attention to them. Advice is not teaching. It merely engages the attention and rouses us and concentrates the memory and keeps it from losing grip. We miss much that is set before our very eyes. Advice is, in fact, a sort of exhortation. The mind often tries not to notice even that which lies before our eyes. We must therefore force upon it the knowledge of things that are perfectly well known. One might repeat here the saying of Calvus about Vatinius. You all know that bribery has been going on, and everyone knows that you know it. You know that friendship should be scrupulously honored, and yet you do not hold it in honor. You know that a man does wrong in requiring chastity of his wife, while he himself is intriguing with the wives of other men, you know that, as your wife should have no dealings with a lover, neither should you yourself with a mistress, and yet you do not act accordingly. Hence, you must be continually brought to remember these facts, for they should not be in storage, but ready for use. And whatever is wholesome should be often discussed and often brought before the mind, so that it may be not only familiar to us, but also ready to hand. And remember, too, that in this way, what is clear often becomes clearer. But if, comes the answer, your precepts are not obvious, you will be bound to add proofs. Hence the proofs, and not the precepts, will be helpful. But cannot the influence of the monitor avail even without proofs? It is like the opinions of a legal expert, which hold good even though the reasons for them are not delivered. Moreover, the precepts which are given are of great weight in themselves, whether they be woven into the fabric of song or condensed into prose proverbs, like the famous Wisdom of Cato. Buy not what you need, but what you must have. That which you do not need is dear even at a farthing. Or those oracular or oracular-like replies, such as, be thrifty with time. Know thyself. Shall you need to be told the meaning when someone repeats to you lines like these? Forgetting trouble is the way to cure it. Fortune favors the brave, but the coward is foiled by his faint heart.